The Off The Ball Podcast Network.
Hello there, you're very welcome along to this evening's show. We are busy tonight. We have Matt Slater from The Athletic with us. He'll be talking to us about Alberto Salazar, who's been given a four-year ban, sent home from Doha today. Matt Slater on the way, 7:30. Frankly, no one's in Doha anyway, so one loss is a big one. So Matt Slater is going to talk to us around 7:30. We have Paul Rouse after 8 o'clock. He is going to talk to us about William Webb Ellis, the inventor of rugby, who picked up a ball in 1823 and ran with it, and rugby was born. This is obviously a complete lie and fiction, and Paul Rouse will go through it with us.
Ah, Joe, you've ruined it.
Give away the ending. And then Mick McCarthy gave his press conference today, named a squad today, so we'll talk about that in the football show, where we'll be joined by Damien Delaney, who's here in the studio. Good evening.
How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for coming in. You're very welcome.
All right.
My apologies. It's been one of those days. I meant to have a chat with you, explain the general crack, but literally this is about the first time we've spoken in person. So yeah. Here we go.
Oh, we can wing it. We'll be grand.
We will, yeah. Richie McCormack here as ever. Hello, Richie.
Hey, Joe. You all right?
Very good. 53106. We are at Off The Ball on Twitter. So Damien here in studio all evening. We'll get through various bits and pieces, keeping an eye on Champions League as well. Were you watching Manchester United Arsenal last night?
I did for about an hour, and then I got distracted.
I saw bits of it in here. Obviously, we were on air, but I heard it was especially disappointing, quality-wise.
It was, but I don't think you can expect anything else, really, out of the two of them, where they're at the minute.
Yeah.
I think Man United are in a tough, tough spot. A lot of young kids kind of learning their way, trying to aim to be top, top players maybe 2 or 3 years down the line. A couple of fellas playing from, I'm not really sure how or why, Jesse Lingard for me. Not really sure he does. Should be nowhere near that Man United team. I think he'd have struggled to get in the Crystal Palace team that I played in, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. But for some reason, he's got a big long-term contract and they seem to have some use for him. But for me, not really. Rashford, if he was my third or fourth choice centre-forward, I'd be happy. But he seems to be the main man now and he's obviously nowhere near the level that we're talking about. Hence the reason you get games like you got last night.
That's a grim picture. It's not even that in 2, 3, 4 years they're going to grab the world by the scruff of the neck type players. Lingard's 26, 27 anyway.
Yeah, like, I mean, at least Arsenal haven't spent an enormous amount of money, so you can kind of understand why they're at where they're at. I suppose Man United have spent over 700 million.
Yeah, I think it's 900 since 2013.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Yeah. That 900 million, and that's what you got on a Monday Night Football. And there wasn't really, with the exception of Wan-Bissaka, I couldn't think of anything else really that's going to come in.
Yeah.
It just looks dead, but there's a lot of dead wood there. I want to say it's been there for a long time, but it hasn't. It's been newly signed dead wood,
yeah.
If that's possible.
Yeah, they seem to have got it incredibly wrong. How is Pogba?
Pogba, I would describe as, he's a joiner inner. That's why I refer to people like him.
Okay.
If it's going good and he's got a good team around him, he'll join in and he'll do well. But on nights like last night, he's not the type of player that'll kind of grab the game by the scruff of the neck and do anything special. So
yeah.
That's kind of a term that I have for people like him.
Joiner inner. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's perfect. Were you a joiner inner?
No, definitely not.
Sunshine footballers.
Sunshine footballers. Yeah. That's what John Giles calls them. Yeah. The sunshine footballers, yeah. So let's move on with the news round, Richie. A few things going on. The Irish team name for Thursday.
Yes, indeed it has been. And several changes, including that of Jonathan Sexton returning as captain for the very first time as well in Thursday's must-win World Cup encounter with Russia in Kobe. The Leinster at half returns to the side in one of 11 changes from the defeat to Japan on Saturday. Rob Kearney, Keith Earls, Gary Ringrose and Peter O'Mahony are the only players retained from the disaster in Shizuoka. Andrew Conway returns on the wing, while Bundi Aki will partner Ringrose in the centre. Luke McGrath comes in for Conor Murray, and following his arrival in Japan to replace Jack Conan, Jordy Murphy is parachuted straight into the number 8 jersey, while Reece Ruddock starts on the open side. Ty Byrne and John Klein make up the second row, with Dave Kilcoyne, Niall Scannell and John Ryan packing down in the front. Joe Schmidt, meanwhile, says World Rugby have informed him of 3 refereeing errors in last Saturday's World Cup defeat to Japan. World Rugby have admitted that 3 offside penalties given against Ireland by Angus Gardner were the wrong decisions. Jerome Garces will be the man in charge of Thursday's meeting with Russia in Kobe.
I think we've penalised for offside 4 times. We've now got the feedback that 3 of those were incorrect calls, you know, and people were asking us about our discipline. It's pretty hard to keep getting off the line and being on the front foot when you are getting those calls. And 2 of them were from an AR who's going to be refereeing us on Thursday. So we know we're going to have to be on our best behaviour.
Ooh, that's all out of tack, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Prisoners.
You can't blame him, though.
No, by all accounts, he does file a review of the referee after every match.
And he had pointed out his misgivings about Gardner before last Saturday. So it's not just a retrospective, things didn't go our way, I put in a bit of a complaint to World Rugby and this is what they had to say. He had misgivings about Gardner. Gardner performed the way he did and things transpired.
That's a smart thing to do, though, to raise that before.
A few people have said, in hindsight, it hasn't worked out brilliantly.
I still don't think the 3 penalties should have mattered anyway. I think Ireland should have been far in front of them, really. Yeah. You know what I mean?
If we're clinging on to that.
Yeah, it is a little bit. I mean, if we're playing South Africa and they went against you and they turned the tide, you'd say fair enough, but should have been out of sight anyway.
To be fair, where else would you get it? Like, that's not going to happen at a World Cup or FIFA turn around and go, do you know what? 3 of those decisions in that game involving Australia and Brazil were wrong. Hands up. We'll move on with it. Contact the people in charge.
It doesn't change anything. It's of no value. It's a waste of time, actually.
Gardner and Garces will have that in the back of their heads going into Thursday and going forward, you know.
Maybe. So Mick McCarthy was in town today. We'll play a good chunk of this on the football show after 9. He was in touchy mood. A lot of subjects he didn't want to talk about were being brought up at length.
Yeah, he hasn't abandoned hope of Shane Duffy and David McGoldrick making his Republic of Ireland squad for next month's Euro 2020 qualifiers. Neither have been named in his 24-man panel for the game's way to Georgia and Switzerland, both due to injury. Greg Cunningham and Darragh Lenihan are both called up, with Enda Stephen suspended for the game in Tbilisi. Despite seeing a striking options narrowed, McCarthy's opted against calling up the likes of Aaron Connolly, Troy Parrott or Michael Obafemi, and the manager was giving his reasons today for leaving the under-21s in Stephen Kenny's care.
I've got Callum Robinson, who's playing in the Premier League, and I'm holding out that Didsy might be alright. David McGoldrick, he's another one that I've a bit of optimism about, until I get told a categoric no, and if then it is, then I've got options then. If I do want to take one of the 21s, I can, but I would have that discussion with Stephen first.
No Parrott in that squad, as you mentioned. The teenager started for Tottenham's under-19s in the UEFA Youth League this afternoon. The young Spurs side lost 4-1 to Bayern Munich in Anfield. Ireland underage defender Ryan Johansson was an unused sub for Bayern in that one.
We'll talk about this on the football show after 9. We'll play different chunks of McCarthy. He was been asked a lot about Richard Keogh. He really didn't want to go down the route of saying anything bad about Richard Keogh. He was almost kind of saying, look, this guy's got enough trouble right now. He doesn't need me lecturing him. And then he was talking about the injury situation. He said Duffy has told him there's still a good chance, and he's kind of clinging on to that hope, because otherwise he's lost 3 of his back four, which is tough. I mean, you'll know. I mean, I'd like to try and create a back four from nothing, develop understanding, all that stuff for crunch games like this. Yeah. That'll be a big worry for him.
It will be, but I think Mick's long enough in the tooth to set up his team in a way that if he does have to play players that aren't playing regularly for a club, i.e. Kevin Long, or if he has to maybe rejig Seamus going to left back possibly, or James McLean going back there, I think Mick will be able to set his team up for an away performance, and I'm hoping that it wouldn't make too much of a difference.
How quickly could you develop an understanding with a new centre half partner?
Look, I mean, it won't be an issue. They're both very, very good professionals. They both know their jobs, and I'm pretty sure that they'll be well protected in front. Glenn Whelan will almost certainly start now, and probably rather than playing a 6 and 2 8, it might be 2 6s and an 8, just to maybe earn a side of caution there. And I think if Mick could get over there with a 1-0, he'd probably be happy with the current situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And then McGoldrick, he's hoping makes it as well, because he's been in brilliant form.
It's not ideal, really. We were hoping Shane Duffy, McGoldrick and stuff, you're not. But I think Mick probably has a good authority, hence the reason he hasn't called up anyone, that at least one of them, if not both of them, should be there.
Yeah, he was sort of saying the players always give you the optimistic version. He did say, I want to hear from their managers too. But
You're pretty sure that they'd have spoke to the club physios as well. The Irish physio team would have spoke to the physios of their club, and I think they'll probably have a good idea there, you know.
Okay. Meanwhile, news of John Delaney?
Yeah, forensic audit into the financing of the FAI is being delayed after the resignation of Delaney. A draft report was due to be submitted next week, but the company carrying out the audit, Cozy, has asked for more time. Sport Ireland's granted the extension and has written to the Oireachtas Sports Committee warning it may take some time. The report is examining the spending of grant money given to the FAI and the wider financial administration of football's governing body in this country.
No timeline on the delay, is there?
Not yet. They're due to appear in front of the Oireachtas Committee on the 16th, which is what, Wednesday fortnight. Yeah. That's not going to happen now. They say it may take some time. Fergus O'Dowd pretty much said, let's just make sure they get all the ducks in a row regarding this, but we don't have any exact time frame when this is going to land.
Yeah. The whole thing's a mess. We had Dan McDonald from the Irish Independent in yesterday, and, you know, UEFA may have to give the FAI up to €20 million. The thing seems to be in dire straits. It's actually extraordinary that we're in this situation.
It is, but yeah, here we are.
Sure are. Yeah, So, Champions League tonight?
Yeah, both Man City and Tottenham in Champions League action. City without Kevin De Bruyne for the visit of Dinamo Zagreb to the Etihad. The Belgians suffering from a groin injury. City line out with Ederson in goals. João Cancelo, Nicolas Otamendi, Fernandinho and Benjamin Mendy as their back four. In midfield, it's Ilkay Gundogan, Rodri, David Silva and up front, Riyad Mahrez, Bernardo Silva and Sergio Aguero. There was a 5:55 start to the other game in that group. It's in Bergamo where Atalanta are taking on Shakhtar Donetsk. 1-1 is the score in that one. And Tottenham manager Mauricio Pochettino is refusing to categorise tonight's Champions League meeting with Bayern Munich as a must-win. Spurs drew their opening game in Group B away to Olympiacos, having surrendered a 2-0 lead. Spurs have Hugo Lloris in goal tonight. Back four, Serge Aurier, Toby Alderweireld, Jan Vertonghen and Danny Rose. Harry Winks and Tanguy Ndombele make up the midfield. In front of them, the trio of Moussa Sissoko, Dele Alli and Heung-Min Son, with Harry Kane leading the line. And they're into the second half in the Group A encounter at the Bernabeu, where it's Real Madrid 1, Club Brugge 2, Emmanuel Dennis with both goals for the Belgians. Sergio Ramos has just pulled him back via intervention from VAR when it looked like, even with the replays, he was offside. But the goal stands 2-1 to Bruges in that one.
The front page of the Sunday Times had a story that, frankly, Florentino Perez is just waiting for the chance to sack Zidane and he's bringing Mourinho back. They're very close, they get on. And you just think, of all the managers to go back to Real Madrid and play the style of football he's going to play, how does anyone think this is going to work out well if Jose pops up?
I don't know. I wonder almost how dependent on Pochettino becoming available, because you'd imagine, you'd have to think that he was your first choice.
Yeah.
Especially with the way Spurs have started, I'd be pretty sure that Pochettino would be encouraging those types of conversations or Perez reaching out. But maybe he's been told flat out by Daniel Levy that it's a non-starter. So probably next in line then is Jose Mourinho.
Yeah. Because if you were advising Pochettino, you might be inclined to say to him, look, you get a spell in world football where you're hot and where everyone wants you. And if things were to go awry at Spurs over the space of a year or two, there's no guarantees that you'd be offered a job at the Bernabeu. There is, you know, maybe a point that you've done really well. Mm. Maybe now is the time. Like, what are you waiting for almost?
Well, he's done ever so well, definitely. But he's not won anything. Right, I mean, and listen, I'd be very slow to beat the guy with that stick, to be honest, because he's done an unbelievable job. But like, to really kind of get those top jobs, like Mourinho is being offered apparently now, you have to be continuously winning trophies and a proven trophy winner. He's a very, very good manager, and I think if he went to the Bernabeu, he'd definitely win trophies without doubt.
Seems they were inquiring after him. Everything's pointed to him having the opportunity to go, and he said, "Oh, the new stadium, and we'll see what we can do here."
If you were advising him or you were him, I'd certainly be thinking that squad needs a major overhaul. That Real Madrid squad, we spoke about it in the show last time. It looks a very tired squad. Mm. It looks very leggy. It's been operating on the limit for 4 or 5 years now, and you can only do that for so long. Hazard's come in, but I think there's three or four that Benzema, Cruz, Marcelo,
all these types.
Ramos. They look like they need a new challenge. They need to go to another club as well. Mm. So I think Pochettino would probably jump at the job if he's told, listen, in the next 2-3 transfer windows, we're going to ship out 3 or 4 and get in 3 or 4, which a club like Real Madrid is more than capable of doing. I think that's probably the only way he would take it.
Yeah, true. We're going to keep an eye, obviously, on Spurs this evening against Bayern. Elsewhere, last couple of stories, Richie. Yeah, our half-7 story is about Alberto Salazar.
He's been sent home from the World Athletics Championships in Doha after receiving a 4-year ban for anti-doping offences. Salazar coached Mo Farah to 6 world titles and 4 Olympic gold medals before they parted ways in 2017. Farah says today he has no tolerance for anyone who breaks the rules following news of Salazar's ban. 2 Salazar-trained athletes compete in tonight's 800-metre final. Salazar won't be there. Farah, of course, has never failed a drugs test and has always denied any wrongdoing. While Kerry defender Killian Young has called time in his 14-year inter-county football career, the former Young Footballer of the Year won 4 All-Ireland titles with the Kingdom. Young says it was an honour to play for his county and that he's now ready for the next chapter in his life. And the chair of the Louth GAA Grounds Committee has ruled out a ground share with Dundalk FC. A new 14,000 capacity ground is set to be built on the outskirts of the town. And before last week's title clinching game with Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk chairman Mark Devlin floated the idea of sharing the new build. But Aidan Beryl has told the Dundalk Democrat that the new stadium will be, quote, purely a GAA venue, and that despite claims to the contrary, Devlin and Dundalk have made no attempts to reach out to the county board.
It seems like it would have made a bit of sense.
It absolutely would. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp, meanwhile, says they'll have to accept whatever whatever EFL decision is meted out if they're found guilty of fielding an ineligible player. Pedro Chiravella came on as a second-half substitute for Naby Keita in last week's third-round win away to MK Dons. The Spaniard was fielded without international clearance. And a call-up for Roberto Lopez for the Cape Verde Islands. The Shamrock Rovers defender qualifies through his father, Carlos. Lopez has been included in their squad for next month's friendlies with Togo and DR Congo.
Okay, cheers, Richie. A shorter news round than usual this evening. Before we get into the Salazar story, on October 15th, I should remind you, we're at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. We'll have Michael Lynott, Brian O'Driscoll, Keith Wood, Paul Howard, Malcolm O'Kelly, Danny O'Reilly from the Coronas, and Greg O'Shea from Love Island, no less. Offtheball.com/events is the place to go for tickets. That will be quarter-final week, all in association with Heineken, official worldwide partner to Rugby World Cup Japan 2019. Visit drinkaware.ie. So again, we have Paul Rouse with us after 8 o'clock. Damien's staying here all evening. We'll have a busy football show. But up next, we are talking about events in Doha, the empty stadiums, and of course, the four-year ban handed out to Alberto Salazar. That's next.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.